Gospel of Luke here on Easter Sunday morning. The book of Luke. The last chapter, as we were in our morning sunrise service, I think we read the last chapter of each of the Gospels, except maybe not John. John has a epilogue at the end that comes in chapter 21, but looking at, again, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a tremendous thing, again, to be celebrating the resurrection of Christ, the victory over death. Bible says that, as we've read, or quoted, some of us, again, that in John 3:17, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God." Then John 3:17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And so appreciate so much God's simple plan of salvation and the ability to be saved here today. And if you're saved, again, boy, you can't help but rejoice in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and rejoice in what he did to pay that sin debt so that we are not under condemnation. So looking at each of the celebrations of the, or the accountings of the resurrection of Christ was a good celebration at our sunrise service this morning. And tonight, this afternoon here, let's just go ahead and look at Luke chapter 24 and read that one resurrection account again. And then I want to look at the disciples on the Emmaus Road and a marvelous accounting there of witnesses of the resurrected Christ. Luke chapter 24, if you have your Bibles, you follow along as I would read from God's holy word, Luke in chapter 24. The Bible says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." Verse 13 then says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you for your accounting of the resurrection of your Son. We can't imagine, again, the glee and the joy, even in the recording of these things. Thank you for each apostle here who, through your inspiration and your leading, and filled with your Holy Spirit, wrote the accounts that we read of finding the tomb empty and breaking the news to the apostles, and they're coming to realize again on that first day that you had indeed risen from the tomb victorious over death, and you're meeting with the disciples there in the upper room with them. So we do praise you and thank you for all that's in the announcement. And Father, it's never old for us to revisit Resurrection Sunday and to rejoice in what you did there. Thank you for the paid in full for our sin debt. And Father, that whosoever calls upon you shall be saved from condemnation of sin. And I pray again that you tug on each heart that's here to worship today. Father, if one again doesn't know for sure of their soul salvation, the assurance of being out from under all condemnation of sin, even before they pillow their head this evening, Father, that you tug on their heart, show them even from the scriptures we've read that they need to be saved, and Father, that you provided the way. We'll praise you now and thank you for accepting our worship and helping us with our wonder as we consider all these things. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen, amen. So here in the Gospel of Luke is one of my favorites. Before we go into too much detail here, let me cover that there are four gospel accounts of the resurrection. They give various and sundry timings again, and again, I handed out a chart earlier. C.I. Schofield has a couple of them here that just outline very clearly the events that happened at the cross. As we read this morning, remember, some of the women touched the risen Lord, but Mary was told, no, 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 don't touch me, I haven't yet ascended to my Father. So we know again, and it unfolds from Scripture, that the Lord Jesus Christ, after he arose from the grave, he ascended to heaven to his Father. The Bible says there to tell the disciples that I'm going to my Father and their Father. I like that. To my God and their God. And Jesus is our brother. Jesus is our kin now, once you're born again Christian. And we have God as our Father. Listen, that's not Old Testament. Old Testament didn't pray our Father which art in heaven. You read through the Psalms of David, and David didn't pray our Father which art in heaven. But you and I, as born again Christians, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Jesus said to those disciples, tell them that I'm going to my Father and their Father. Praise the Lord, we have a Father in God. Once we've accepted Christ as our own personal Savior and are born again Christians. And so here in the Gospel of Luke, or in each of the Gospels, we see different accountings and different timings and all the events that happened at the tomb. A lot of the modernists, again, twist it all up and say, they're all confused. They're not confused. These are inspired scriptures, again, that tell everything that happened at the tomb. And God tells it with a greater passion, I suppose, even than sometimes we can comprehend. But again, the importance of the resurrection of the Son of God is emphasized here on this day, and even as we read into those scriptures. So Matthew presents a perspective of Christ. Mark presents, written later, presents a perspective of Christ. Luke, again, written later. And then the Gospel of John, that I love, again, gives some insights even to the timing that we don't see in some of the earlier Gospel accounts. But all of them, again, give the account of the resurrection of Christ. So here in the book of Luke, we have this added detail tagged on to the end that's always interested me and always excited me as we read about the disciples on the Emmaus Road. That starts there in verse 13. And let's pick it up there and just read through some of this accounting that Luke gives of these disciples on the Emmaus Road. Verse 13 says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. In the margin of my Bible, I have written it's about 7 miles. It's a 7-mile walk, okay? So they're going to take off and they're going to walk from here to Penyan. What is that, 5 miles or so? Okay. So maybe we should have a little exercise after church. Well, no, maybe not. Take a 7-mile walk again. I think the outlet trail out here, Beverly and I said, let's go walk the outlet trail. And then we checked it out and said, 7 miles? I think not again. So appreciate again. This walk was a 7-mile walk. So there they are. Picture that. Get a hold of that. And it says, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And so I can imagine that they had to head home. The other disciples, so the 11, again, they were gathered in the room there in Jerusalem. But these had to get home. Had to start work, I'm sure. And so off they went. To Emmaus. Verse 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. It's interesting to me to watch people, even when we come to church, what do we talk about? People get together And how much time do we spend talking about our Lord Jesus Christ? First thing we talk about is the weather, okay? We got to cover all of that. And then hunting, we got to cover that. That's important, you know. But, you know, when we get together with other Christians, there should be a subject matter that's top of the list. The Bible says somewhere, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And Jesus added, with all thy strength. And I don't want to take liberty to add things onto that, but somewhere in there should be our tongue that we should talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, these two guys just couldn't stop talking about what they had witnessed there in Jerusalem. And they were there for the crucifixion. They were there for the 3 days. And they were there to hear about the empty tomb. And so they were talking about all these things. And listen, when we get together and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes up and rubs shoulders with us. He likes to be there. He likes to be nearby when we're talking about him. And you take a measure of your week, even this week again, take a measure of how many times that the Lord Jesus Christ himself would come on up and talk and be with you because you're talking about him. He likes it. That we talk about him. And so here these disciples were talking about Jesus and all the events that went on. And so Jesus himself, it says, drew near and went with them. Verse 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one with another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, isn't it interesting that they give the name of the one of them here, and the other one they don't give the name of. Benny Smalley loved this portion of Scripture, and I still remember talking with her about this, and she had determined that she knew who the other one was. And she said it was Cleopas and Mrs. Cleopas. And she about convinced me of that, too. I've, again, weighed in on that and said, yeah, it could very well have been. But, again, notice that we don't know exactly who it is. But we have Cleopas, who is named here. And he is also mentioned over in John chapter 19. And so, and one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Now I want you to stop and think about the things that had come to pass. If you took that chart we had and look at everything that happened for that week after the triumphal entry, but also include the triumphal entry, and I'd go ahead and include his entry into Jerusalem in that description. Remember, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Look at the miracles that Jesus did as he left Galilee, came down through Jericho, went on the Jericho road into Jerusalem. And we have a long, or a history, as it were, of all of that passing and all the things that Jesus did in there. And we could be students of those few days it took for him to travel from Galilee to Jerusalem. He was going there, and the Bible says he set his face as a flint, that he knew he had a destiny to meet as he went to Jerusalem on that trip. And so here, these guys were talking about everything that had happened in the last few days, and here they run into this stranger in their mind and said, "Listen, don't you know what's been going on?" And so I think in their mind, again, they're witnessing a lot of things that they had seen of the Lord Jesus Christ. "And said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things about the triumphal entry, the things about his days in the temple, the things about his crucifixion on the Passover, at the time the Passover lamb was slain? That he again was dead and gone and in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, as he said." Verse 19, here's Jesus. "And Jesus, he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people." Remember on his triumphal entry, I preached this a couple times here, I believe, where Jesus was coming in the book of Matthew, and they all cried, "Hosanna to the highest." And then several people said, Who is this guy? And they said, "It's the prophet. Jesus is the prophet." And they're wrong on that account. Jesus was more than the prophet. He was the Son of God. And his escort in, he was the Passover Lamb of God. He's the sacrifice for sin. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. And again, the Muslims believe that he was a prophet, but that's all they believe. And again, the Bible teaches clearly that no, he is the only begotten Son of God. And the verses that we read again says, if you believe that and you trust him, he gives you eternal life. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him hath everlasting life. And so, and shall not perish, and have its everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on the Son is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." So he's more than a prophet. And notice what they say here concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. "And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him." Verse 21 says, "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." And then look at this closing on verse 21. It says, "And besides all this, today," Sunday, this is a Sunday again, and they're walking on the Emmaus Road, "today is the third day." Didn't Jesus say something about Jonas being 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth? "Even so must the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And he was. And here's another witness that says he was. And besides all this, today is the third day, that's the Sunday, since these things were done. "Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. Verse 24, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, speaking of John and Peter in their foot race, no doubt, and found it even as the women had said. But him they saw not. In verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. There's probably been times in your life, my life, when we were fools and slow of heart to believe the Bible. But God has given it with this assurance that the very words that he gives us are truth, and that we could hang a truth marker on every word of this old book and trust it. Now, I do not trust modernist ecumenical versions of the Bible, not an ounce of them. They do not believe in verbal inspiration. In fact, they try to teach us that there's no such thing as an inspired Bible today. They're all gone. Only the original manuscripts were inspired. And so then they spend all of their effort writing a copyright version of what they think God meant to say, and rather than give the very words of God. Be careful of your Bible. Again, modernist ecumenical Bibles with copyrights are to be avoided at all costs. Again, and get yourself what the Bible says here, because it's trustworthy, and again, it's got words of the prophets that we need to believe wholeheartedly. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And then verse 26, look what he says. Ought not Christ there, let me say that in Hebrew or Aramaic, it's Messiah. Ought not the Messiah. And so the Messiah is the anointed one of God. In Greek it's translated the Christ. Isn't the Christ is the anointed one of God. In Psalms chapter 2, an interesting verse, when they raise up against God and against his anointed, it says, that's Messiah. That's the Christ. That's the anointed one of God. And so here again, remember the disciples, again, when John and Andrew were with John the Baptist, and John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God, go follow him. And they did, they went and followed him. And the first thing they did is they found their kin and said, hey, we have found the Christ. We found the Messiah. And so they believed in the Messiah from that very founding. And here we find an emphasis again that ought not Christ, the Messiah, to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. And think of how many times, I didn't get to count them up here, I should have, how many times that Jesus told his disciples that, hey, I've got to go to Jerusalem and they're going to crucify me. They're going to kill me and I'll be spit upon and slain because that's what's got to happen to the Christ. And that's what happens to the Messiah. And he told them several times. And John witnesses, they just didn't get it. They heard him say those things, but they just didn't get it. And so here when we read the account of the resurrection, notice there was many things that they just did not get. And here he says, ought not Christ, the Messiah, to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Boy, I'd like to have been a fly on the wall. Well, on the tree. Well, I guess I'd like to have been along on that walk and heard him expounded all things. Isaiah 53 was probably top on his list of things that had to be taught. Psalms chapter 22 that tells about the crucifixion of the Messiah. Again, was probably in this listing of things that he taught them. That again, the Messiah must die, must pay for our sin debt, according to Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And he hath laid on him, the servant that's described in Isaiah 53. He hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. Now remember, he came and was talking with them, and as he did that, they still did not know that this was Jesus. He had hid himself from that revelation. And now we're down to verse 29, and it says, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And so we're going to have a resurrected body, the Bible says, just like Christ had here. And we don't understand all the aspects of it, but here, notice again that he was made visible to them and he talked with them, and they didn't understand anything different than he was a human talking with them. It's a big deal that, again, they ask him in, and when he break bread, I don't know that when he break bread, they looked at his hands and they saw the scars. That's very possible. They weren't scars, by the way. Bible never calls them scars. They calls them wounds. Bible says that he had wounds on his hands and on his feet and in his side. And so here, it could be that they saw the wounds in his hands. But I always thought more that it was the manner in which he break bread. They had seen him break bread before. And so notice again that when he break bread and blessed it and break and gave to them, and their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. So let's say they left in the evening and now it was coming on dark. How long does it take to walk 7 miles? Us old people walk 2 miles an hour and are pleased with that. So that's 2, 4, 6. That's 3 hours at least again. So let's say 3 hours journey they made back there. And now they were at Emmaus and they'd stopped in at their house. And again, Jesus was compelled and he came in and stayed with them. And then he vanished out of their sight. And then look at verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Listen, there it is, another 3-hour trip. They turned around and said, hey, we got to go back to Jerusalem. And they took off and went. The 3 hours at least back to Jerusalem. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Have you ever had your heart burned in you while you read the scriptures? In a good way. I'll call it a warmth. No, I don't like that. Well, I was going to say a warm, fuzzy feeling. No, it's not a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's a burn, all right. That our hearts again know again that his spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a son of God, out of Romans chapter 8. Yeah, just to be a student of God's word and to be reading the scriptures. I'm a C.I. Schofield fan, as I've told you many times. C.I. Schofield outlined again all the scriptures that Jesus would have talked about here. It's all the verses about his first advent, and you can follow a chain reading of all of them. And I've done that several times. Just follow Rafe Schofield's notes. It don't take me over an hour to read all of the chain references that Schofield has of all the Old Testament scriptures that point to the Christ. Boy, I tell you, my heart burned within me as I read through that list for an hour. And listen, God's Word can still do that. The revelation of the Scriptures in our heart. Look at verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." So by this time, Simon had seen him. And they came and added the witness to the 11. And there they were on that Sunday evening, still together. And they told, verse 35, and they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. Look at verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself. Remember I said that Jesus, when you're talking about Jesus, he likes to be around again. Again, I wonder sometime how much we miss the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we don't spend our time talking about him. There's lots of things we talk about. But boy, and this week again, especially, well, last week too, I guess, all week, there's ample opportunity to talk about Lord Jesus Christ. I've been amazed this year at how many people. I try to wish everyone a happy Easter, and I always throw in it's got to be a resurrection day too. And so that's a more important part of it. Easter used to be a sun god holiday that they tried to modify it to make it fit into this. But it's resurrection day, the day that Christ rose from the tomb. And I've been amazed a lot of people get it in before I get to it again. Up at the post office, he said, "Have a happy Easter," almost as soon as I got in there. And so, we ought to, again, have it on our lips. It's been on TV. In fact, I don't know if I didn't read this, but I got to look it up when I get home. Our president made a declaration on last Palm Sunday. He made a declaration like they do for Thanksgiving. They make a Thanksgiving declaration, and he made one on Palm Sunday. And that old preacher from First Baptist in Dallas, he said the president flat out preached a message about Palm Sunday. And so I said, "Man, I'm going to go check that out. I got to find out exactly what he said." I've said before that President Donald Trump has given a witness of him being born again, of accepting Christ as his own personal Lord and Savior. I know a lot of people don't believe that, but I heard him say it, and Graham was right there with him and confirmed it, and so I like that idea. And certainly we see some things that our nation, again, is headed in a direction, again, that might exalt Christ more than defy Christ. And so what a blessing, again, that people have in America right now have a new awareness of this Easter Sunday. And don't be a sourpuss Christian that doesn't mention it to somebody, even this week. Keep on rejoicing in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here, as they were talking about him on the Emmaus Road, Jesus said, "Hey, let me slip in and listen to what these people are saying." As they were talking about him here in the upper room with the disciple, talking about him, he slipped in and appeared to them as well. And boy, again, I want that we would talk about him this week. Don't stop. And again, keep him the center of our conversations, even as it is here. And we want to go ahead and do that in our celebration of his resurrection. So you can read on down through the account there again of his appearing to them. The appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're covered very well, I thought, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you turn with me there, let's rehearse some of the verses that we find and read there already this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is called the resurrection chapter. And I want to read the introduction to that resurrection chapter more so than the victory over death closing scriptures that we looked at this morning. But they're good and they're important. But look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the Bible there says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is a reference here where Paul is giving to the carnal church of Corinth the gospel. And the gospel message is given here in clarity and in detail. And this is what you must believe. The Bible says in John 3:16, "Whosoever believeth." And this is what you've got to believeth, okay? This is what you got to have as an understanding. We talk about faith, and faith is what you believe. And Jesus said you got to believe in the only begotten Son of God. And here's what you must believe about Him. I addressed recently again that there's going to be a lot of people that miss heaven by 18 inches because they got something stuck in their head all right about Jesus, but they've never put it in their heart. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead," that's where we get salvation. And so notice here it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, "For I delivered unto you," this is Paul, or a church at Corinth, "for I delivered unto you, first of all," this is the gospel as he described it in verse 1, "first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures." And that means he took your sin debt. He paid for your sin debt. He died for our sins. And again, in Romans, when it says, "God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We should have died, but he died for us. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so it says Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day." Listen, that's the gospel, right there it is. That you would believe that he died in your place. He was a substitute for your sins. That he died and was buried. He paid the penalty for our sins. But then he rose victorious over death. Now turn with me to Romans 10, one more. We have the verse there that says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Romans 10, 9 and 10, we've memorized it, the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but you got to engage your mouth. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You've got to accept what he did for you. And as we looked at the Passover lamb, it's equivalent there again that he is our Passover lamb for the world. But unless that blood is applied to the doorposts of your heart, it's ineffective for your soul. And so there has to be an acceptance. And there it is. Back up a little bit. In Romans 10, look at verse 6. "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." You got to believe that he died for your sins. He was buried and he rose again, victorious over death. Verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called? Are you saved? Boy, it's a tremendous thing, again, to go through Resurrection Sunday with a salvation down deep in our soul that says we are the sons of God. Father, praise you and thank you for what we've looked at here in the Scriptures. Thank you for disciples who not only continued in your word, but they talked about you as they were on the road, as they were walking again to Emmaus. And Father, that you're interested in disciples who will talk about you. Thank you again for their journey back to Jerusalem from Emmaus and that walk. I can't imagine how exciting it was, and I can't imagine that they didn't run a little bit. But they got back again to find the disciples there, and they told and talked about you and what they'd seen and heard. Father, help us, yea, this week, to talk about you and what we've seen and heard. And Father, that we would be your witnesses. And we'll thank you for the privilege and for the power to do that. Thank you for Easter Sunday. Thank you again for the first day of the week when we celebrate your resurrection. And thank you this one that falls on the Sunday after the Passover observance, that we could again just commend you as the Passover lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. And thank you especially that you took my sin, that you took our sin. Help our rejoicing this week. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and we'll dismiss as we started. If you don't know Christ as your own personal Savior, boy, I'd encourage you not to leave this room without talking to somebody here that's a believer, including myself, that you talk again about a need for salvation. And then you could sing with us, Christ for Me, yes, it's Christ for Me, 722 in our book, if you've not memorized it yet. And let's have again a week where it is Christ for Me. Christ for Me, yes, it's Christ for Me. He's my Savior, my Lord and King. I'm so happy, I shout and sing. Christ for Me, yes, it's Christ for Me. Every day as I go my way, it is Christ for Me. Praise the Lord. I only went 8 minutes over. I usually go 15, so we're good this morning. Hallelujah. Lord bless you for being in church with us.
There's chocolate.
Hey, Fred, I gotta go.
Everybody grab a box.
They called me. I gotta go to work.
Hey, Tracy. Take a chocolate bunny to work.
Take a chocolate bunny.
Lord, you don't want to eat them.
Lord, bless you, my friend.
Have a good one. Have a good one. Not me.
I walked right on you.
morning, honey. How you doing?
That's really just a presentation of the
God.
It's a very common name.
He came up to put one of the new meters up, and the house was completely gone. He waited for 3 weeks, came back, and he said, there's still no house here.
There's what?
Yeah. There's still no house there. Nothing to put it on.
All right, yeah.
It's good. Wow. I felt bad for him.
We get any good to do it.
All right, they're interested
in the
Are you a morning Christian?
Oh, yeah.
So you heard from the
What
are you doing today?
So they do it right all the way up the mountain.
And then you're putting up those.
This
So it's a little right, left, right?
No, but mostly all the chairs. I've never done one of those before, but I know.
So this is up there, like that lot, and you ride all the way up top. Like in these mountains, I don't think there's another one you ride all the way up. Oh, this one here, you can see the bottom of the channel. These are my nieces, this one and this one. This is Sophie and that's Yelma. These are two friends from the school. They brought them.
So when you come, I tried to get all across.
My sister was.
And
but see, this
usually
all my sister's stuff.
And they didn't make
so
it all.
We
were praying for you.
Yeah.
we might be out one soon. Berlin, Jersey. Graduation. I'm too old to drive down, turn around, and drive back. We might leave it there.
I'm getting off. I got to left today, right? Right, well, my night. What day? Everything was today. For Easter, birthday. And it, last yesterday, I had some deep evening. Oh, we're having a special thing for Bob in the morning, Monday. I guess it's 7 or 8. That's your answer.
Yep. Want anything else?